chapter 17, verse 10 to 16. But come on, all of you, try again. I will not find a wise man among you. My days have passed, my plans are shattered, and so are the desires of my heart. These men turn night into day. In the face of darkness, they say light is near. If the only home I hope for is the grave, if I spread out my bed in darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, my mother or my sister, where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? Will we go down to the gates of death? Will we descend together into the dust?
Job chapter 19, verse 23 to 27. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on the scroll, that they were inscribed in an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me.
The story of Job is full of surprises, and today we've read maybe the most surprising thing that Job says anywhere during the book. Just before we get to that though, if you're joining us this morning and you haven't yet been able to catch up with what Claire and Mark shared with us 2 weeks ago, can I encourage you to go and catch up on YouTube. The introduction that Mark gave us to the story of Job was just such a helpful setting for this whole story that we're exploring together. The story of Job helps us to think about this really difficult subject of suffering. Why do the innocent suffer? Where is God in suffering? How do we respond to suffering ourselves or suffering in others around us? Job was someone who'd experienced almost unimaginable loss of family, property, wealth, and his own health. We thought about the responses last week of silence, of lament, of the impulse to blame. And Job, even as he pours out his woes, has deep moments of trust in God, moments of almost inexplicable hope. And we've read the most famous one just now, chapter 19 and verse 25. I know that my Redeemer lives. David mentioned it. Actually, I didn't tell David that we're looking at these chapters this week, but it's really helpful the way that David linked the word Redeemer here to the story of Ruth. And if you don't know the story of Ruth, I encourage you to look it up. The book of Ruth in the Old Testament. But there's this figure called Boaz, who's the Redeemer, the family Redeemer, and he rescues Naomi and Ruth from their plight, from their poverty, and restores them to a position of wealth and of privilege. And that's the picture that Job is calling on as he says these words, I know that my Redeemer lives. God exists, and not only that, he is for me. He is like a rescuer, a redeemer, a savior to me. I want to spend just a few minutes now exploring Job's statement of faith. Because firstly, Job's hope expressed in those words is surprising. It's surprising because it's rare in Job's speeches. Mark told us a few weeks ago that Job begins in chapter 1 as an exemplary sufferer. He blesses God even as his world falls apart, but he doesn't stay that way. And if you've been reading the book, as Mark suggested we might, you'll have read how Job again and again is pouring out his woes before God. Chapter 17 that we just read, Job berates his friends for being useless. Talks about how his plans have been shattered. And then in verse 15 and 16, where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me. It certainly sounds like Job has given up, as though hope is no more, despair is what he knows. And that's how chapter 19 is going as well. Job expressing his frustration, devastation at God's silence, his sense of being forsaken. Even the little boys, he says, scorn me. Have pity on me, for the hand of God has struck me. And then, verse 25, I know that my Redeemer lives. I'm not sure even Job was expecting those words to come out of his mouth. A few weeks ago, we were on one of our family evening walks, and we were going through Grove Park, Selly Oak Park, and there was clearly a storm coming, and the skies were growing darker, and the wind was blowing, and there were these threatening grey clouds coming in from Bourneville. The thunder was rolling, there was lightning flashes, and then suddenly, in an instant, we saw over the new Sainsbury site, this most amazing rainbow that I can remember seeing, right at the point between the warmth of the afternoon sun and the looming storm. And in that moment, in that place, this completely unexpected event happened, and then we had to rush home. But in that moment, that sense of surprise of seeing something suddenly that was amazing and inspiring, and people right over the park were stopping to take pictures, something beautiful. It strikes me that Job's declaration of hope was something like that. I know that my Redeemer lives. I wonder whether you've experienced God surprising you in some way over this lockdown period. It's a good question we might discuss maybe in our online home groups this coming week. How has God surprised you over this lockdown time? But how does Job know that his Redeemer, his Rescuer, lives? Actually, Job doesn't explain himself. He doesn't tell us, so we can't know for sure. But one thing is clear. Job's hope is definitely not based on his present reality, on his experience of God in that moment. Job 19 and verse 7. Though I cry violence, I get no response. Though I call for help, there is no justice. God is silent. Job's hope is not based on his present reality, but on his past experience and what he knows of God. Despite everything that's happened, despite everything that he's faced and is facing, Job somehow recalls enough of the character of God to be able to say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And perhaps we too sometimes need to cling on to our past experience of God when he seems silent in the present. And that's one of the reasons why Christian friends and church friends and special places are important in our lives. I remember Alexander as a baby being brought by his parents to church here to be dedicated so that we could read verses of the Bible and make promises and pray for him and for them and also for Penelope later. Some of us remember Jane Edwards when she was here before she went to Mozambique worshipping with us, and we prayed for her and with her when she left. And of course David and Marion were part of, so much a part of our church family when they were here in Birmingham. And as we remember some of those times, maybe those moments of prayer, those moments of shared experience, his great faithfulness that we've known of God in the past, maybe in worship, maybe in fellowship or prayer or on some mountaintop, those are the things that may sustain us through times where God is silent. And once again, in our home groups this coming week, maybe you might share with others what those moments are for you. What do you cling to of God when God seems silent in the present? And if you're watching this and you're thinking, actually, I don't think I have those moments that I can draw on, those experiences of God that encourage me. If all that you have is this present moment, what do you do if God seems silent now? Well, Jesus said this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And so I encourage you to do that, to try asking Jesus, seeking, knocking. Ask Jesus to speak to you, to be present for you in this moment right now. And if you'd like to explore that more, then please do be in touch with me. I'd be happy to talk to you or put you in touch with someone who could do that. Job's hope isn't based on his present reality, but on the past experience that he knows of God. But finally, Job's hope is not something complicated and difficult. His hope is simple. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. It's a simple statement that Job's making, that God lives, that my Redeemer lives. And Job's deepest desire is to see God. Where then is my hope? Job had asked back in chapter 17. My hope is in God. I long to see God. There's something wonderfully simple about these words of Job that I've been mulling over this past week. We live in a world that is incredibly complicated. There are so many issues and decisions facing us that are difficult and complex. And yet Job's words are strikingly simple. I want to see you, God. I want to connect with you, to know you. And the cry of Job's heart, when all seems lost, when all despair seems to loom large, when the horizon seems to close in, let me see you, God. I had a bit of experience of this over the past week. On Thursday morning, I was feeling a bit overwhelmed with a huge list of things that I needed to do, risk assessments to look through for reopening buildings, leadership team agendas, finance questions, so many seemingly impossibly complicated questions. And then at 11 o'clock on Thursday, Sarah was bringing our daily update. And Sarah read this prayer that we're going to put onto the screen now from one of Theo's bedtime storybooks. Hold my hand, God, lead the way. Help me be good every day. Let me know what's wrong and right. Keep me safe all through the night. Let me know what you have planned. Lead the way, Lord. Hold my hand. And as I heard those words and as Sarah talked about them, I realized that I was overcomplicating things. That my prayer in that moment could be simple. Lord, hold my hand. Lead the way. And perhaps you too might find that reminder useful this morning. That at its root, our hope is simple. God, the God Job prayed to, the God Jesus reveals to us, is faithful, good, and unchanging. And maybe this week, we need to set aside some time to be quiet and to simply ask God, hold my hand, God, lead the way. Job's hope was surprising. It was based on his past experience, but overall, it was simple. We can start to follow Job right now as we sing this wonderful hymn pointing us to the source and the goal of our Christian hope. Great is thy faithfulness.